The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 410 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's our handle on Twitter. And I love to get your feedback about the show at the Sports RPT. And then there were four. The final four is set. We're down to Oklahoma, Villanova, North Carolina, and Syracuse. A number 10 seed is in the final four for the first time ever. I'm a grad of the CUSE, the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications, and I did not think that the Orange even deserved to be in the big dance. Now they're going to Houston. This is unbelievable. I'll break down all four regional finals and set the stage for Saturday night. How's your bracket looking? Mine isn't looking too good. I only have one team left, and that is North Carolina, who I did pick to win it all, but one out of four is not going to get the job done. One better could cash in big time thanks to the Orange. Wait until you hear how much is on the line. Coach K apologized over the weekend. The question is, why did he lie in the first place? And should the headline be Coach K apologized or Coach K lied? That story coming up. It's all in episode number 410 of the Sports Report. I told you last week I'm fighting this cold. It's been 3 weeks now, and I'm really fed up with this thing. But just when I was turning the corner, and everybody's saying, Paul, you got to get your rest. You got to get more sleep. You're not going to be healthy if you're running around, working all the time, watching all these games, and then getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go in and do the morning show on the radio. But what am I supposed to do? Not watch March Madness? There's absolutely no chance of that happening. So I'm watching all these games, and I'm feeling better now. Little stuffed up, but overall feeling better. Voice coming back. I mean, there was a point I could barely talk. My voice sounded absolutely horrible. But what am I supposed to do when Syracuse is down 15 midway through the second half, come storming back to win and go to the Final Four? Of course I'm going to be yelling at the TV. And even the game before, the Sweet 16, they're down double digits to Gonzaga. Sabonis and Wiltshire are killing them. I'm going to be yelling a little bit. So a little setback with the voice, but we're trying to get back on track. I'm definitely doing a lot better than I was 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago. I still listed as day-to-day. And hey, the baseball season's coming up. So I got to be ready for that. Next week, we'll do our big Major League Baseball preview like we do each and every year. Today, I have to focus on the big dance, March Madness, the NCAA tournament. It has been a wild, wacky tournament going all the way back to the first round, of course, when we had 10, a record 10, double-digit teams win. And since, we've seen some pretty good teams implode. Three Mile Island, like, meltdowns here, Chernobyl style, in the NCAA tournament. So we have a lot to get to. The first regional final was in Anaheim on Saturday. Oregon, the number one seed in the West. Oklahoma, the number two seed. Two words, buddy ball. The debate over who the national player of the year is, that debate is over, my friends. It is Buddy Hield from Oklahoma. Forget about Ben Simmons or Denzel Valentine from Michigan State or Tyler Ulis from Kentucky or Jamal Murray from Kentucky. Whoever you want to throw out there, forget about it. The debate is over. It is Buddy Hield, period. End of story. I mean, what this guy is doing, 25 points a game, but I love the percentages here. He's shooting 50% from the field, 46 from three. That is phenomenal. And 88% from the free throw line. So, yes, he takes a lot of shots, and I think some people think he's a gunner, a high-volume shooter, but it's not like he's not efficient. When you're making one out of two, you'll take that. When you're making almost one out of two from beyond the arc, any coach in America will take that. And the senior guard lit up the Ducks. Remember that old Nintendo game, Duck Hunt? Do you even remember Nintendo? You kids out there, Google it. Before PlayStation or any of that, you had Nintendo. And it was awesome. And it came with Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers. This was a Duck Hunt for Buddy Hield. 37 points in a regional final. He was flat out unstoppable. It was jump shot after jump shot after jump shot. Some deep threes. I'm not going to say Steph Curry-like range, but some of these were definitely beyond the college line. And I know that Oregon likes to play zone, but it was very obvious that that wasn't going to work against a team like Oklahoma with some shooters out there. One of my big pet peeves, and I tweeted about this, so you may have caught it, at the Sports RPT. When I'm watching super athletic teams like Oregon, like Baylor, and they're playing zone. I mean, if you have guys who are that athletic, and both those teams do, shouldn't they be able to guard somebody man-to-man? I mean, how about playing some defense? If you're quick enough to beat somebody off the dribble or jump over them for an alley-oop, shouldn't you be able to play some defense here? Yet these teams are playing zone, and Oklahoma just burned them. I tweeted Saturday, Oregon is using a new strategy. They're letting the other team's best player beat them. I mean, if I am playing Oklahoma, the one guy who I don't want to beat me is Buddy Hield. Yet he got 20 shots off versus Oregon, by far the most on his team. I'd trap this guy as soon as he's over midcourt, trap him, get the ball out of his hands, and force someone else to beat you. And if they do, hey, you tip your cap and you go home with a nice time. The dance is over. Clock hit midnight for Cinderella. Instead, Hield finishes 13 of 20, 8 of 13 from three-point land, 37 points. The Sooners nearly had half a hundred at the break. It was 48 to 30 at halftime. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. Oregon never threatened in the second half. Final score was 80 to 68. Jordan Woodard had 13 points. Isaiah Cousins added 11 for Oklahoma. But this was Buddy Ball at its best. He's had at least 30 12 times this season. He was a one-man wrecking ball. And again, if I am Oregon, and I think Dana Altman's a good coach, but don't you have to make somebody else beat you there? If Woodard goes for 25 or 30, if Cousins goes for 25 or 30, hey, it wasn't your night. But when the other team's best player does that to you, I mean, that has to be frustrating. Because you know going in, he's their best player. Now, as for Oregon's top players, Dylan Brooks was in foul trouble. He only scored 7 points before he fouled out. So 7 points, 5 fouls, not the ratio you want for your best player. He's only a sophomore. One of their other top scorers is Tyler Dorsey. He's only a freshman. On the other hand, Oklahoma has had the same starting lineup for 3 years. And there are some things that you cannot teach. One of them is experience. Experience is priceless. And Oklahoma has it. They have continuity there with their starting lineup. And they're on to the Final Four for the first time since 2002. Do you agree, by the way, here's the first question of the show. Do you agree that Buddy Hield is the National Player of the Year? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. This is episode number 410. I'll take you through the other regional finals. We'll look ahead to the Final Four. I'll give you the early lines from Las Vegas. One of them may surprise you. The other, I think you know. One of them, though, may surprise you a little bit. We'll tell you about the big bet on the Cuse out in Las Vegas and talk about Coach K and Dylan Brooks and that whole bizarre story. But first, I have to tell you about our great sponsor. They've been with the podcast for a long, long time, and we appreciate their support tremendously, and that is iHome. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. Now, listen to this. Not only are they waterproof, they are rust-proof and military standard shockproof. Now that is tough right there. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. And that is a winning combination. Not only is the quality state of the art and everything's going to sound terrific, but you're getting great value with all these products too. You can find them at iHomeAudio.com. iHome offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out and relaxing at home. And now we're into the spring. The summer's not too far away, so more and more people are traveling. This would be a great gift idea for people who fly a lot and they're looking for some headphones or some earbuds, or they go to the gym a lot and you're looking for some earbuds there. iHomeAudio.com is the site with all of their apps and accessories. And remember, iHome is the number one brand when it comes to digital speakers. It's all on the website, iHomeAudio.com. We're back on episode number 410 of the Sports Report, talking a lot of college hoops. Let's head down south here. Now, this regional final was a much, much better game. Again, the top two seeds made it through, and I thought this was the toughest region of the four when the brackets first came out. You had Miami, Cal. Cal's got some NBA players. They may end up with two lottery picks. Maryland, UConn as a 9 seed. UConn was hot coming into the tournament. Wichita State as an 11 seed. I think we saw how good the Shockers are. They weren't healthy throughout the course of the regular season with Fred VanVleet missing some games. He was banged up with him and Baker. I mean, that was a very tough number 11 seed. So I thought this region was difficult. The committee certainly did not give Kansas a free pass to the Final Four. Saturday night, the Jayhawks probably played their worst half of basketball. And give Villanova credit. They're a very, very good defensive club. They get after you. They only start one big, so it's a little bit of small ball. They have a big guy in Daniel Oshefu, but the guards are really scrappy. You don't get anything easy against the Wildcats. They were blowing up dribble handoffs that Kansas was trying to run at the top of the key. They're going the other way, getting easy fast break buckets. Nova completely took away Perry Ellis. He averaged 17 points, 6 rebounds this season. He only got 5 shots against the Cats. 5 of them. 1 of 5, 4 points. He had as many turnovers as points. Villanova swarmed Ellis in the post, and I thought Bill Self did not do enough to get him the ball down low. Whether it's man, whether it's zone, you need to find a way to get your best player the ball, and Kansas did not. Now, it's a lot easier to take away a post guy because you can double him, you can collapse on him, than it is to take away a guard like a Buddy Hield, who's going to have the basketball in his hand all the time. But I did not think that Bill Self did a good job. You have to find other ways to get your big man the basketball, and they did not. 5 shots for Perry Ellis? I mean, that cannot happen. Chris Jenkins of Villanova hit a 3 that gave the Cats a 32-25 halftime lead. I actually thought Kansas was fortunate to only be down 7. They looked horrendous at times in the first half. Just awful. 16 turnovers in the game. 6 of 22 from three-point land. Whew. The Jayhawks did take a five-point lead in the second half, and Jenkins was in foul trouble, but Nova came right back, showed some of that Philly toughness, a nice counter punch. Ryan Archie Diacono made some big, big plays. He's a senior. Ochefu had some big shots as well. He only took 8, but he made 5. He had 10 points. He had 8 rebounds. Bridges came off the bench. I thought he gave Jay Wright some great minutes off the pine. He's very active defensively. He's got long arms, big wingspan. He can rattle you a little bit with his defense. And before I get to the controversial call that happened with about 30 seconds left in the game, I want everybody to know that I think Villanova was the better team overall. And I think Villanova deserved to win the game. I want to be clear about that, especially because I reside about an hour from Philadelphia. And I know some people who are big Villanova fans, big time, including my buddy Chad. So, and he listens to the podcast on a regular basis. So I want to be clear to Nova Nation, you had the better team. You deserved to win the game. Over 40 minutes, if you're looking at the big picture, not just, you know, a five-minute run here or there, Villanova was better than Kansas. However, I thought the foul call on Devontae Graham, who was Kansas' best player by far, 17 points, 5 of 9 from 3. Their other guards could not shoot it a little bit. Mason and Seldon, I mean, throwing up some air balls, some absolute bricks there. With 34 seconds to go, this was a huge spot in the game. Kansas is only down 2, and the Jayhawks have the ball. 56-54. Graham's dribbling right around midcourt. Loses the handle. Ball's rolling in front of him. He dives on the floor to get the ball. As he did that, he slid into Josh Hart, hit Hart around the knee, around the shins, and he knocked Hart to the ground. Graham is called for the foul. Nova made a couple free throws there. Now it's a four-point lead. You're in the driver's seat, less than 30 seconds to go. You take care of the rock, you make your free throws, the game's over, and they did. Credit to Nova, 18 of 19 from the free throw line. There are a lot of NBA teams that can't do that. And Villanova won the game 64 to 59. Now, to me, that was a loose ball scenario. And since it's a loose ball, Graham has every right to dive for the basketball. I mean, isn't that what you teach kids? Get on the floor, go get it. Hart did not have possession of the ball at the time. It was rolling on the court in front of Graham. So he dove. Yes, there was contact with Hart. Yes, he knocked him over, but he's diving to come up with the basketball. Very, very tough call against Kansas. I did not agree with it. That said, Villanova was the better team. This is a very balanced team, guard-oriented lineup, tough kids. They play really, really hard. Their defense in this tournament has been outstanding. I thought they would struggle with Miami. And not only did they beat Miami, and Miami's a good team. I thought Miami went under the radar this year. They have some really good guards, too, in McClellan and also Rodriguez. And that's an experienced team. You're talking about fifth-year seniors there, a couple of transfers. Villanova blew them out. 23-point victory. Now, some nights, Villanova is going to live and die with the three ball. That was not the case against Kansas. They didn't shoot it well. 4 of 18 from 3. This was not about just bombing away. This was about their defense. Their defense made Kansas uncomfortable, and then the Jayhawks started to feel the pressure in the second half. They took some bad shots. They did not take care of the ball. They never found a way to get Ellis involved in the game. And this team's expectations, let's be real, were to win it all. At least get to the championship. And they did not even reach the Final Four. Big disappointment in Lawrence, Kansas. And I imagine that Bill Self is taking some heat there. I mean, that's the knock on him. And he's had some teams that got bounced in the first weekend. That's happened to him three times at Kansas. But this team, number one overall seed, not even to get to the Final Four, that is a disappointment. And I know they win the Big 12 every single year. They've done it for a dozen years. I give them a lot of credit for that. But this season, the talent they had, now this was about more than just getting to a regional final. But Bill Self has struggled in these regional finals. Now, Vegas only had Kansas as a two-point favorite over Villanova. So what do I always tell you? Let the line lead the way. I mean, that should have been a clue right there that the people out in the desert thought Nova had a really good shot here. I mean, this line wasn't 5 or 6. This line was 2. So the Cats are back in the Final Four for the first time since 2009. On to Sunday, first up in the Midwest, number one seed Virginia versus my alma mater, the 10 seed Syracuse. And although I'm a proud Syracuse grad, I did not like this matchup for the Orange. The Cavaliers are very well coached. They are fundamentally sound. They don't take dumb shots. They play terrific defense. They value the basketball. They have two really good guards in Malcolm Brogdon, who was not only the ACC Player of the Year, he was also the Defensive Player of the Year. He is the first player ever to do that in the ACC. And think about all the great programs in that conference and all the great players who have come through. London Parentes is another very good guard. They have a good big man in Anthony Gale. I mean, this is a good team. And Virginia is up 16 early in the second half. And they're up 15 with 9.5 minutes to go. 54-39. Now, I'm saying this baby is over. Signed, sealed, delivered. No shot. UVA values the basketball. They can guard you. They are not blowing a 15-point lead against a number 10 seed with less than 10 minutes to play. And this isn't like, you know, the Gonzaga game. I know Cuse came back against Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a very good team. And Coach Few always seems to do better when his team has a higher seed as opposed to, you know, a seed around a 2, 3, or 4. But Virginia was in a different class this year than Gonzaga. If Gonzaga does not win its conference tournament, they may not be in the tournament at all. Remember, that's an 11 seed. Virginia's a 1 seed. So coming back against Gonzaga is a lot different than coming back against Virginia. And then Jim Boeheim, who is the king of the 2-3 zone, right? As soon as you say Boeheim, you say 2-3. He decides, hey, we got a full court press. And all of a sudden, the wheels come off the wagon. Virginia just melted down. Turnovers, missed transition opportunities. You know, they were getting some 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s. They weren't able to convert. And how about the freshman, Malachi Richardson? He just went off, just like he did against Dayton in the first round of this tournament. Sometimes freshmen don't realize how big the moment is. They just go out there and play, just like they're out in the schoolyard or at some AAU tournament. Richardson and Tyler Lydon, they did not look like freshmen. I like Lydon a lot. He's long, he's lean, he's got to put some weight on, but he can step out, he can shoot it. They were outstanding. What a future. Both freshmen. Richardson had 23 points, 7 rebounds. Lydon had 11 points, 6 boards, and 5 blocks. He was a big factor on D. The biggest surprise to me, Syracuse went on this incredible run. It was a 29-8 run to end the game. They went from down 15 to winning by 6, 68-62, and they did it in 9.5 minutes. Michael Binajay was not a huge factor on the offensive end. 4 of 13, 11 points, only 4 rebounds. If I knew that going in, I would have said no shot against Virginia. This guy killed Gonzaga. He had 20 against them. He was very good against Middle Tennessee State. Quiet against Virginia, yet they still pulled off a 29-8 run. It's almost unthinkable. Richardson is the big man on campus now, the BMOC. And I'm still in shock that Syracuse in the Final Four. Remember, and you can go back and listen to the old podcasts on grizzlyproductions.tv. They're archived on iTunes as well. Just do a search for the Sports Report Podcast. Type in my name. It'll come right up there. So you can go back and listen to the shows. When I was breaking down the brackets, I said one of the teams I would not have had in was Syracuse. RPI of 71, 13 losses this season, 19-13, 9-9 in conference play. You always talk about how a team finishes. They lost five of their last six. And in the ACC tournament, when they had a chance to send a message and say, hey, we deserve a bid, they lost their first game. They lost to Pitt. I have a lot of friends who are Pitt fans, graduated from there, and I don't think they're real happy with me right now because I'm texting them about Syracuse. Pitt beat Syracuse three times this year. Three times. Syracuse lost to St. John's, a team that won eight games. They lost to Georgetown. So I didn't think they should be in. But now they're in, and they are going to Houston. Wow. And whether you like him or not, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but this is one of Jim Boeheim's best coaching jobs. My freshman year, I just lucked out. Syracuse ends up going to the Final Four. It's in the Meadowlands. Buddy of mine, we get tickets. I think there were about five of us. Hop in a car, stayed at a friend's house in Jersey. We were there for the Final Four. That was one of Boeheim's best jobs in 96. Syracuse was a four seed. They had John Wallace, great college player, turned out to be a bust in the NBA. And then really no other stars. Todd Bergen, Otis Hill, Jason Cipolla, Lazarus Sims. I mean, it was not a team loaded with superstars outside of John Wallace. He carried that team. They got all the way to the final, and they lost to Kentucky, coached by Rick Pitino. It was his last season at Kentucky, and oh, you talk about loaded. I mean, that team was like a college kid on his 21st birthday. Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty, Derek Anderson, Tony Delk, Nazi Muhammad. I mean, it was one pro after another after another. And Syracuse hung around. They only lost that game by nine to Kentucky. That was one of Boeheim's best jobs. And this is up there. Now, one of the themes of this tournament is meltdowns, blowing big leads. The pressure can be overwhelming, especially if you're a favorite. And you start to sweat a little bit. And then teams can run 30 seconds off the clock. So two possessions, you just took a minute off the clock, and they lose composure. Again, they're college kids. They're young, teenagers, early 20s. They make some bad decisions under the pressure. Look at Purdue, first round against number 12 seed Arkansas Little Rock. That one went to double overtime. Of course, none of us will forget Northern Iowa, Texas A&M. Another double overtime game. A&M is down 12 with under a minute to go, down 10 with 30 seconds, and wins a game. You got to be out of your mind. Wisconsin and Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. Badgers hit a three with under 30 seconds to go. They're looking good. Then the Irish score eight in a row, steal after steal. They end up winning at 61-56. And then you look at Virginia against Syracuse. And I think Tony Bennett is a really good coach. He's getting hammered right now, but big picture, you look at what he's done there, he's a good coach, but they did not handle the pressure. But that's what I'm saying. It can happen in this tournament because of the finality factor. It's one and done, especially for the seniors. This is it, and it becomes a real pressure cooker. Finally, we go to the East region. Number one seed North Carolina, number six Notre Dame. These teams shot it really, really well. North Carolina was 61% from the field, Notre Dame 55%. And they both struggled to get stops, but sometimes it's just, you know, the offense is too good. I mean, you can play great D, but the offense sometimes is better. Guys just making shots. You see it a lot more in the NBA than in college. Demetrius Jackson, what a warrior. Guys limping around. He went for 26 in this game. VJ Beachum had 18. He's known as a spot-up three-point shooter. he had a monster poster baseline dunk in this game. Those two carried the Irish. Bryce Johnson led the way again for the Tar Heels, 25 points, 12 rebounds, showed a great mid-range game right around the elbow. Marcus Page, the senior guard, lefty, he had 13, and I think they go as he goes. All five starters in double digits for Carolina. Theo Pinson played really well off the bench. I don't know how many people even heard of this guy. North Carolina was up 5 at halftime. That got up to 11. You think they're going to run away and hide? Notre Dame said no. Notre Dame went on a big run, helped by a technical foul on Johnson, and the Irish led by one with 13 minutes to go. They are a 9-point underdog in this game. They were down 11. Next thing you know, they're up one. And then Pinson and also Isaiah Hicks were big sparks off the bench. Carolina fired back. They dominated the glass. They can really hurt you on the boards. They out-rebounded Notre Dame in this game 32-15. Doubled them up. Eventually, Carolina pulled away, won at 88-74. They're so talented. I mean, physically, they're the most gifted squad in the field. And if they get you in an up-tempo game, look out. That's when they're really at their best. Notre Dame used its burn offense where they burn the clock. I thought they used it effectively, but you can't do that when you get down in the second half. Carolina just too good here. They're going to the Final Four for a record 19th time. First time since 2009 when they won it all. I thought it was an entertaining game to wrap up the weekend. So we go to Saturday night in Houston. Couple of two seeds here, Villanova and Oklahoma. That is at 6:09 Eastern, not 6:08 or 6:10, 6:09 Eastern time. And what's intriguing here is the line. You know, I always say, let the line lead the way. Well, Villanova is a 2-point favorite in this game. Despite all the love right now for Buddy Hield, I mean, it's Buddy Ball 24/7. And the fact that these teams played in December in Honolulu, and Oklahoma not only won, it was 78-55. They shot the lights out. They had 14 threes in the game. Villanova did not shoot well. And Nova got run off the floor, 78-55. Even with that, Vegas has made the Cats the favorite, showing some respect there for Jay Wright's club. UNC and Syracuse played twice. Carolina won by 11 in January. That was up at the Carrier Dome. Now, that game was closer than the final score. And then they played late February at Chapel Hill, and Carolina only won by 5. UNC is a 9.5-point favorite in this game. I'm not real surprised there because I think North Carolina is a public team. Everybody loves the Tar Heels. Who do you like in the Final Four? You got Villanova and Oklahoma, and you got Syracuse as a 10 seed against North Carolina. And what do you think about those lines there? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm at TheSportsRPT, always looking for new followers there. Please spread the word about the podcast. If people are big sports fans, they like a fast-paced, high-energy show without the homerism that you're used to, this is the place to go with you every Monday. Now let's get to Coach K here. Bizarre story. Sweet 16 game. It's Oregon against Duke. Oregon wins the game 82-68. End of the game. Shot clock's about to expire. Dylan Brooks launches a deep three, and he drills it. And he celebrates a little bit, and that, I think, rubbed some of the Duke players and apparently Coach K the wrong way. Because after the game in the locker room, Brooks said that Coach K told him, quote, "I'm too good of a player to be showing off at the end." Now, when Coach K was up at the podium for his news conference, he said that didn't happen. He said he didn't say that. He said, you know, Brooks was a hell of a player. Said he's a terrific player, but he didn't add in the part about you're too good to be showing off like that. Well, then on Saturday, Coach K issues a statement saying it's not his place to talk to another team's player, and he hoped he did not create a distraction for Oregon. The question is, why lie about this? I mean, you think about Coach K and Duke, you think about character, you think about integrity, morals, right? Great academic institution, good kids there, and he just lied. Maybe he was just so ticked off because, you know, they ended up losing this game by 14 points, and I don't think he felt like he got the best effort from his team. Maybe he was just mad, angry, and upset, and he, you know, was annoyed that they even asked a question. But he did lie here. So if he gets criticism, and I don't think you get a whole lot of it, you know, are we going to hear criticism from Jay Billis or Dick Vitale? You know, he should be open to criticism. I mean, he lied about this. He made a mistake. And how many times do you hear that the cover-up is worse than the crime? You know, when you lie about it, now you look bad. And he does in this spot. So I want to get your take on that situation with Coach K on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. And listen, we're all human. We all get angry. But you shouldn't lie about it when you were asked what you said to the kid. Now let me get to this bet here. January 13th, going to go back in time, the Westgate Superbook had Syracuse listed at 1,000-1 to win the NCAA tournament. You heard me right, 1,000-1. The Westgate Superbook took four bets on the Orange, including a $100 ticket. Now, if you're not a math major, 100 times 1,000, that's $100,000 on the line with this ticket. Syracuse was only listed at 1,000-1 for a week, and then they took it down to 500-1. And the same bettor who put $100 on Syracuse at 1,000-1 also took them at 500-1 twice at $50 a pop. The vice president at the Westgate said he could not recall a 1,000-1 bet ever cashing, ever. Auburn was 1,000-1 during the 2012-2013 college football season. Auburn got to the championship game but lost to Florida State. So that ticket did not cash. You know the deal with Syracuse. Coach Boeheim suspended for 9 games. They lost 5 of those. They lost their first 4 ACC games. On January 9th, this was a 10-7 team. 10-7. So that's why they were at 1,000-1. And this guy puts $100 on it. You're talking about a big payday. Now, listen, I'm rooting for my team, but am I going to tell you that they're beating North Carolina? Phew. Good luck. But, you know, hey, I'll be watching it. I didn't think they beat Virginia. That's for sure. And how many people thought Middle Tennessee was going to beat Michigan State? That's the beauty of March Madness. Everybody has a shot. You just never know. You throw them all on the field and let it play out, which is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. And it's been a very entertaining tournament. So I want to get your thoughts on all of those stories on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Who do you like in the Final Four? Is Buddy Hield your National Player of the Year? What do you think about Coach K lying? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Big baseball show next Monday here on the Sports Report Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. This has been episode number 410 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.